it sort of goes back to a longstanding sense of wanting to battle injustice. And I grew up in a very male-dominated household. And then I basically chose to pursue very male-dominated professions.
Yeah, let's just go into that. You worked in the energy sector, the telecom sector, is that right?
Absolutely. So I was an engineer for a while, worked in the energy sector, working on hydroelectric power plants. I then moved to the telecommunications sector. I spent about a decade in investment banking. So, you know, it presented some challenges. Not having the same kind of support structure that a lot of my male colleagues had, role models, you know, having to deal really with some discrimination, the whole gamut over the years, just really instilled in me a sense of wanting to do something about that. But it's interesting because I always focused on addressing this injustice with more of a philosophy of how should I succeed by playing the game, as opposed to how should I work to level the playing field. And it wasn't until I came here and really engaged sort of more broadly and more deeply in these longstanding gender issues when I really changed my focus and the way I wanted to address these issues.
And you're in a good position to do that because you are the ambassador here at the United Nations in Geneva and you're responsible for hundreds of diplomats. So how has it concretely changed how you do things?
I think we are changing our day-to-day activities. First of all, we've been working really across our mission to try to help raise awareness and really bring this international Geneva community together around these issues, because these types of problems that we're dealing with really takes all of us, you know, men and women. We all come from different backgrounds, different perspectives, but we have to come together. And the Geneva community is coming together around these issues. So the fact that we engage on so many diverse issues daily here in Geneva gives us this broad reach where we can really have an impact in developed and developing countries.
Can we just talk about accountability? Because you need clear goals in any project and accountability is obviously key. So at what point does the project, the initiative Geneva Gender Champions, become accountable?
So another one of the fundamental premises that we built this around is accountability. This has been embraced by everyone. It's basically viewed as one of the key measurements of success is to be able to basically evaluate, measure, track, monitor, and then report in a public forum how we're doing on our commitments.
Can I turn to you, Mr. Muller? Why this issue above all others? How important is gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls in the Sustainable Development Goals?
Well, it's not an issue above all others. It is a important issue, a very transversal issue for the SDGs. I don't think, and most of my colleagues, certainly those who are in the forefront of trying to get these SDGs implemented, we're all of the opinion that they will not happen unless we get the other half of humanity on board.
So let's talk about practical measures. How do you become a Geneva Gender Champion?
You write to either me or the ambassador and tell us that you want to become a gender champion. And here are the three pledges and the three initiatives that you commit to, and off they go. It's easy.
Well, you heard it here. Write to the DG at the United Nations in Geneva, Ambassador Hamamoto, and they will send you the information you need. Alternatively, there is a website. You can always just have a look at it on your favorite search engine. Can we talk about an idea that came up at a recent library talk here at the UN? There are plenty of them, whether the SDGs are good for women. And one of the speakers said that one of the major tests would be for rural women, and they are the real ones who need empowerment. How are we going to reach out to them with this kind of initiative?
It's an interesting point, and it's a very important one. I actually had the same conversations yesterday with about 300 young people, all interns in the different organizations here in Geneva, who asked the same question. Clearly, when you talk about rural women, they need to know about the SDGs. And one of the interesting things that David Nambaro, the Secretary General's coordinator for the 2030 Agenda, is doing is to put in place systems that will ensure that about 2 billion people will know about the SDGs by the end of 2017. We have a universally agreed set of rules that empowers and makes people responsible for their own destiny, if you want. So it empowers people to actually take action and take responsibility, not just for themselves, but for their communities as well. And we, the system, is there to help them. That is where the big change has happened. We are not going to be the ones doing it for them. We will help best practices, financing, information, narrative, etc.
Can you maybe finally just tell me what the level of civil society involvement was in this Geneva Gender Champions initiative in terms of getting the input from the widest possible spectrum of people? I don't know who'd like to take that one.
The civil society piece is really important to us for a lot of reasons. One, you know, sort of back to the question of accountability, and they help hold us accountable. But they bring such great, valuable perspectives to how we should be approaching these problems, how we should be working together. We're also interested in having the private sector involved. And so it's something that we all need to come together. We're pushing each other. We're holding each other accountable. We're looking for creative solutions to some longstanding problems. But there seems to be a uniting, really, of focus and of effort around these issues that's really wonderful to see. And I'll tell you, it's about time because we've all seen progress, but we all know also that the progress has been way too slow.